so much for coming. I know you're very, very busy here.
Have a loaded, loaded day, and thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Just to echo Rachel's sentiments, not about me, but about her, you're very blessed and fortunate to have Rachel here with you, to offer you guidance and assistance, and to be here for whatever it is you need. So I'm blessed, and you're blessed to have Rachel. Before I came down here today, I was sitting and eating lunch with one of my students, one of my talmidim on the uptown campus, and so he says, "Rav, are you going to start out with a joke?" So I said, "I'm not really that type that starts out with a joke, but I will start out with a pella." Anyone know what a pella is? A pella, pile ployim. A pella is like a wonder. I'm going to start out today's shiur with a wonder. Something, when you hear about it, it's going to be, oh my gosh, what is the Gemara talking about? What is Rashi talking about? So let us begin with the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Peches. The Gemara tells us that Klal Yisrael, when they were about to accept the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the mountain over their heads. Amar Rav Dimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa Melamed Shekipa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asaleim Ashar Kegigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the mountain upon their heads and told Klal Yisrael, Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav, if you will accept the Torah, then that's great, V'im Lav, and if not, Sham Tehek Furaschem. And if you don't accept the Torah, this place you're going to be buried. The Gemara says it's not such a terrible thing, because this mountain upon their head essentially compelled Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. And if they weren't going to keep the Torah, they would always have an excuse to say, we were forced, we didn't have a choice in the matter. Nonetheless, the Gemara continues and says, Afal Pikein, Hadar Kibua B'Miach HaShveirosh, Klal Yisrael re-accepted upon themselves the Torah in the days of Achashverosh. And Rashi, in source number 2, tells us, what changed? Why did Klal Yisrael re-accept the Torah upon themselves? Me'avos Hanes Shenas Elohem. Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah upon themselves again during the days of Achashverosh because of their love for the miracle that was performed for them. Essentially, Rashi is telling us they saw a great miracle. They saw that Klal Yisrael was about to be exterminated. Klal Yisrael was about to be destroyed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael now sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to save them. Their Ava, their love for that miracle, compelled them, forced them to accept the Torah Me'ava out of love. So unlike the original acceptance, which was done Be'ones, they were forced to accept the Torah. At the time of Achashverosh, they accepted the Torah Mi'ava because of the miracle that was performed for them. That Gemara is a Pella. Pile Ployim. It's a wonder. Questions, it doesn't make any sense. Why not? The Torah tells us, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Uparo Hikriv, Paro was advancing, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Eseneim, B'nei Yisrael lifted their eyes, and the Egyptians were chasing after them. They were frightened. Vayitzaku B'nei Yisrael El Hashem, and Klal Yisrael cried out to Hashem. And ultimately, what is Moshe Rabbeinu's response to Klal Yisrael? Al Tiro, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid, Hisyatzvu Uru'u Es Yeshua Hashem. Just stand, watch, and you will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring salvation. You don't have to do anything. Just stand there and watch HaKadosh Baruch Hu take control of the situation. The next source. Klal Yisrael is making their travels through the desert. Klal Yisrael is exhausted. They're tired. They've been through a lot. All they want to do is sit and relax. And what happens? Amalek comes and attacks Klal Yisrael. Moshe comes and tells Yoshua, choose some men, go and battle Amalek. And tomorrow, Anochi Nitzav al Rosh HaGiba, I'm going to stand atop the mountain. And that is exactly what happens, that Yehoshua does exactly as Moshe had told him. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what is he doing atop the mountain? So the Ramban tells us, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is standing atop the mountain in source number 5 is Ba'avur Sheyispalel B'Nesios Kapayim Al Rosh HaGiba. Moshe Rabbeinu is not just standing atop the mountain just to survey the situation to ensure that Klal Yisrael is winning this battle. Moshe Rabbeinu was an active participant in this battle. Ba'avur Sheyispalelu B'Nesios Kapayim. He raised his hands as if to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'olasham, and he went up there kidei sheyira as Yisrael, that he should see and witness Klal Yisrael hanilchamim that are battling the Yosim Eino Aleihem Latova, and he's going to gaze, he's going to place his eyes upon the Jewish people. V'gam heim yiru oso, and there will see him pores kapa v'shamayim. They're going to see Moshe Rabbeinu lifting his eyes. They're going to see that he's davening to Hashem. They're going to see that he's one with them. And that will give them greater confidence in what they're trying to accomplish. And Moshe Rabbeinu had good reason to stand atop the mountain and to raise his hands and to daven to Hashem. As the Ramban tells us in this very same source, V'yitochein shepachad Moshe, it was justified that Moshe Rabbeinu was alarmed. Pen yiskaber b'charbov nehayuso am nochel acherev mibirchas hazotin. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had known that Amalek was very dangerous. Amalek was given a haftacha, a promise by the Zakein, the elder, given Yitzchak had given Esav, Amalek's grandfather, a bracha, that he's going to live and die by the sword. And now this people is tired and they're exhausted and Amalek is coming to battle. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is a life and death situation. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if Klal Yisrael was going to be victorious, it was going to be not through swords, because that's Amalek's region, but rather it was going to be through Hakol Kol Yaakov. It was going to have to be through the voice of Yaakov, which is Tefillah, and therefore he went above to raise his hands to Shemayim, to daven to Hashem, that ultimately Klal Yisrael should be victorious. Throughout the stay in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael witnessed Milchemes Amalek. Klal Yisrael for 40 years had experienced Nisim v'Niflos, great miracles. Klal Yisrael didn't have to prepare a meal. Imagine never having to prepare a meal for 40 years. Who wouldn't sign up for that existence? Who wouldn't want to be able to come home and not have to worry about preparing dinner? It's the most amazing thing. They have it in the calf. It's true. It's true. Well, somebody's working for that calf cart. You know what I mean? Didn't have to worry about food. Didn't have to worry about shelter. Didn't have to worry about beverage. It was all provided. Min HaShemayim, literally falling from the sky. Klal Yisrael's needs were taken care of. All Nisim v'Niflos. As source number 7 tells us, Shehine b'nei Yisrael shehayu tachas rosh ha-yeshiva, that b'nei Yisrael had the ideal existence in the Midbar. They were in the greatest yeshiva in the world. The Rosh Yeshiva was the great Moshe Rabbeinu. The Adon Kol HaNeviim, he was the master of all prophets. And their yeshiva wasn't made of brick. It wasn't made of clay. It wasn't made of stone. Rather, their yeshiva was the Anoni HaKavod, the celestial clouds that protected Am Yisrael. The Shechina Mamish. They were able to sit and learn uninterrupted. The Shechina protecting them. Man, Be'er. The man, they could eat and taste whatever they liked. The Be'er, the water providing for their needs. All this was B'derech HaNes. All this was miraculous. U'mimakom kol kach kadosh. In a holy environment. And then they received the Torah. And the Kabbalah's HaTorah was also with great pomp and great miracle. The sounds of the shofar. The thunder. Moshe Rabbeinu surviving on the mountain for all those days and nights. Miracle after miracle after miracle, Klal Yisrael experienced. And how do we understand that now by Purim they're going to accept the Torah from the Avos HaNes, the love of the miracle? If we're talking about miracles, if what it took for Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah, Mi'ava, was miracles. We just enumerated 5, 6, 7 miracles. And this wasn't just a one-day miracle. This was a 40-year miracle. 40 years of miracles. That wasn't enough to compel the Jewish people to accept the Torah Mi'ava. They had to wait for the days of Achashverosh, as Rashi said. Mi'avos HaNes, Shenaselahem, the love of the miracle that was performed for them, now Kimu v'Kiblu, Mashekiblu Kvar, now it's okay, now I'm able to accept the Torah, Me'ava, Biratzon, because I desire to accept it out of the love of the miracle. What about Milchemes HaMalek? That wasn't enough of a miracle. It compelled Yisro to come. Yisro heard about Amalek, he came. He accepted upon himself the sovereignty of God. Yisias Mitzrayim, which we didn't even talk about. Yisro heard Yisias Mitzrayim. He came, it compelled him to take upon himself the sovereignty of God. Kabbalah HaTorah, that wasn't enough to compel Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. Yisro heard Kabbalah HaTorah. He came and accepted upon himself the Torah Me'ava. Klal Yisrael sees and experiences all of these miracles, and it wasn't enough to compel them to accept the Torah. It was only when they saw this one-time miracle, not to belittle the miracle, but at the end of the day, Yisias Mitzrayim, Nisim v'Niflos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishana Tevet, changed the entire nature of the world. And now from the miracle of Purim, now Klal Yisrael says, ah, now, this miracle, and now we want it. How do we understand this? In order to understand the difference, in order to answer this question, there's a very, very big difference between the miracles that we had just talked about and the miracles of Purim. There's an idea that's brought down in the Gemara that Adam rotze kav shelo mitisha kavin shel chavera. That a person would rather have one of his own than 9 of someone else's. Now, how does that idea impact our discussion today? The Medrash tells us, Shlosha parnasim tovim amdu li Yisrael, in source number 8. That there were 3 supporters that enabled Klal Yisrael during their travels in the desert. Elu Hein, and these are them. Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. V'sholosh matonos tovos nitlu ayadam. And there were three matanos, there were three presents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had bestowed upon Klal Yisrael in the merits of these three giants. The Eluhain, and these are them. The Be'er, the well, the Anan, the celestial cloud, and the Be'er, and the water. The Be'er was Chus Miriam. The well was in the merit of Miriam. The Anan, the cloud, was in the merit of Aaron, and the man was in the schus of Moshe. Miriam died, the Be'er was removed. Though it was returned in the merit of Aaron and Moshe. Aaron died, the Anoni HaKavod was removed, but again, it was given back in the merit of Moshe. Moshe dies, it was all removed. Klal Yisrael did not deserve the Anan. They didn't deserve to have the celestial cloud hanging upon them and ensuring their safety. Klal Yisrael did not deserve to have the Be'er, the well. And Klal Yisrael did not deserve to have the man. It was only because Klal Yisrael had a connection, had an association to these three great giants, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them those matanos tovos, those kind, those good presents. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Kriyas Yamsuf was it such a great miracle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to split the sea? We mention the splitting of the sea every single day. There's an entire parsha, a Shabbos Shira, that's focused upon the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. In the grand scheme of things, is it really such a big deal for God to split a sea? He created the sea. God can do whatever He wants. Chazal tells us, greater than the miracle of the splitting of the sea was that God split the sea for the Jewish people. Because Klal Yisrael did not deserve to have the sea split. After all, the Medrash tells us, Halalu obdi avodah zarah, v'halalu obdi avodah zarah. The Egyptians, they worshipped idols, and Klal Yisrael worshipped idols. So who's to say that the Jews are any better than the Egyptians that are advancing, trying to catch up to the Jews? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu overruled the prosecuting agent and spared the lives of Klal Yisrael. And that's the Shira, that's the miracle. The miracle isn't splitting of the sea, but it's being able to object to the prosecutor who's suggesting, why should you spare the lives of Klal Yisrael if they're also Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they also worship idols. It wasn't in the merit of Bnei Yisrael that Klal Yisrael was spared at the sea. So maybe you're going to come and ask me a question. But Rabbi, wait a second. The pasuk tells us, we read, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem. That Bnei Yisrael lifted their eyes, they saw that the Egyptians were advancing, they became frightened, and they cried out to Hashem. And usually, crying out to Hashem means that they davened. So they did have schuyos. They davened to Hashem. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, as Rashi tells us, Vayitzaku tafsu umnos abosam. They latched on to the trade of their ancestors, of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, when they faced perilous times, they were in a state of confusion. When they needed something desperately, what do? They daven to Hashem. So Bnei Yisrael now daven to Hashem, Vayitzaku El Hashem. Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem. So maybe they did have schuyos. Maybe it was their action that brought the splitting of the sea. The Bartunura explains, you can't understand the Pesukim like that. Rather, it wasn't telling us their praise. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem is not coming and telling us how wonderful they are, but rather it's telling us gnai, how terrible they were. Tafsu umnos avosam, they latched on to a trade that which they saw their parents doing. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't understand, internalize that you daven to Hashem, you have a meaningful relationship with the creator of the world who can change your luck in an instant. They didn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring a Yeshua Ke'arafai in the blink of an eye. But rather they saw that their parent had davened and their grandparent had davened. So they were just doing that which they had seen. Essentially, they were the children of their parents. And the Bartanur explains that the Pasuk should have said, Vayitzaku el Hashem. And they cried out to Hashem, but it's Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael. As if to emphasize that they're the children of Yisrael. They davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as children. They had the same mentality as a child has when he davens to Hashem. He doesn't know what he's doing. He sees his father shuckling, so he shuckles. He sees his mother shuckling, so she shuckles. But does a child truly understand the impact of tefillah, that tefillah has the ability to change the course of your life? Says the Bartanura, no. Tafsu umnos avos, and they latched on to the umnos. It was a trade. It was a family business passed down from father to son. That's what they saw, but they didn't understand the message, the reasoning, the impact of the tefillah, and therefore explains the Bartanura that it was purely lignai. Klal Yisrael been taken out of Mitzrayim. They didn't have any schuyos. They didn't deserve the nisim v'niflos. There was nothing that B'nai Yisrael did that warranted them living Mitzrayim. So why? How? Vayomer l'Avram yadoa teida ki ger yezar chaberetz olahem. They're going to be gerim. They're going to be strangers in a land that doesn't belong to them. They'll be enslaved. They'll be afflicted for 400 years. But ultimately, they're going to leave with great wealth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a haftacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Klal Yisrael's parents, promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're going to leave. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to have bitter lives for all those hundreds of years. But ultimately, later on, you're going to see Yetzu Baruchosh Gadol. But it wasn't in their own schuyos. They didn't deserve it. They didn't merit to leave Egypt. They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They were on the 49th level of Tumah. They were impure people. They were worshipping the same idols that the Egyptians were worshipping. Then why did they leave? Schutz Avos. And the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as the Medrash tells us, to be Yisias Mitzrayim in source number 12, Hayu Gimel Minios Shelo Yigalo. There were three things that were hindering Klal Yisrael's ability to leave Mitzrayim. Ha'echem Yitzad Atzman. They themselves. Shehayu Ra'im V'chatoyim. They were evil people. They were sinners. They sinned against God greatly. Just like the Mitzrim, Kamo HaMitzrim. Sheamru HaMalachim, the Malachim, the angels themselves said to God, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, v'halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ma nishtanu elu me'elu. What distinguishes, what's different between the Egyptians and the Jews? all of the miracles that we had discussed, that we enumerated earlier, Milchemes Amalek, that was in the schus of the tefilos of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kriyas Yamsuf was in the schus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating a miracle that wasn't deserved, overriding the prosecutors that are suggesting kill them just like the Egyptians, they're no worse. The man, the nace of the man was in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the nace of the Be'er was in the schus of Miriam. And the schus, the merit of the Anani HaKavod was in the schus of Aaron. All of the miracles were someone else's. It didn't belong to Klal Yisrael. And then we come to the miracle of Purim. And Purim is something different. As the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Daf Yudalit Amud Aleph tells us, Vayotzar HaMelech Es Tabasa. The Melech Ahasuerosh removed his ring and gave it to Haman. That removal of the ring had given a carte blanche to Haman to carry out his evil plans to destroy and to annihilate Laharo Vilahashmir es kol ha-Yehudim, to destroy and annihilate all of the Jews. He finally had his opportunity. He was waiting so many years. He felt that Mordechai had wronged him. Mordechai wasn't bowing down to him. The entire world was bowing down. But Mordechai wasn't. I'm going to show those Jewish people. And he was able to convince Ahasuerosh to give him that opportunity. And finally Ahasuerosh gives him the opportunity. Takes off his ring. Edict sent out. The Jews will be destroyed. Says the Gemara, that removal of the ring is Gedola Yoser. It had a greater impact and an effect, more so than the 48 Nevi'im, the 48 prophets, and the 7 prophetesses, Shedisnavu Lahen LiYisrael, that would prophesize and admonish and prod the Jewish people. Shekulan lo hechziram lemutav. All of those prophets weren't able to impact Klal Yisrael. They weren't able to change Klal Yisrael. They weren't able to move Klal Yisrael. They weren't able to bring Klal Yisrael to a point of repentance. But the Hasaras Tabos, but the removal of the ring, he was able to bring back Klal Yisrael. And Mordechai comes to Esther and says, Esther, you have an opportunity, go into the palace and plead and beg on behalf of your people. And Esther Hamalka sends back and says, I can't just go into the king. Going into the king is liable to die. You can't do that. You have to be summoned. You can't just barge in. And then Mordechai sends back, you must do that, because perhaps that is the reason that you are placed in your matzav, in your situation. And if not from you, then the hatzalah, then the salvation of Klal Yisrael will come from another place. And when Esther heard this, she was charged. She felt she was on a mission. So she sends back, tell the Jews, Leich Konus is Kol HaYehudim, go and gather all the Jews, and fast, and daven, and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. And ultimately, that's exactly what happened. Ultimately, it was the tefilos, and the bakoshos, and the fasting, and Klal Yisrael coming together. We were an Am Mefuzar and Mefura, we were a scattered nation. And now we became together, Leich Konos, gather all the Jews. The miracle of Purim was different than the miracles that Klal Yisrael experienced, because it was our miracle. We created, we brought out that miracle. We weren't just told to watch from the sideline as Moshe Rabbeinu brought miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. We weren't standing on the sideline while Aaron was bringing miracle after miracle, or Yoshua was bringing miracle after miracle. This is the first time where we were the catalyst. Each and every one of us got together and dictated the terms of our salvation. That's the Avos HaNes. Adam Rotze Kav Shelo, a person who would rather have one of his own than Tisha Kav and the nine of someone else. So even if the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, if you were to place two people to the side and say which miracle was greater, splitting the sea or having a battle and being victorious, 10 out of 10 people would say Kriyas Yamsuf is greater. Or man coming down from the sky is greater. Or leaving Egypt when no one had ever left Egypt with all those great miracles, it was a greater miracle. But those were HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles, or those were Moshe's miracles, or those were Yoshua's miracles, or Aaron's miracles, Miriam's miracles. Wasn't our miracles. Purim was our miracles, where we davened, where we fasted, where we committed ourselves to taking the initiative and acting. Esther went out of her comfort zone. She didn't want to do it. She didn't feel comfortable doing it. Purim is a time where we unmasked our potential. Title. Purim is the time where we unmasked our potential. We saw firsthand what we are capable of. Esther saw what she was capable of. And each and every member of Klal Yisrael saw what they were capable of. There's no greater Avos HaNes than that. We saw that the Torah resonates with me. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah only. It's my Torah. I have a place in the Torah that was given to me. I'm able to bring about change. I'm able to dictate the terms of the world. My tefillah matters. If someone's sick, Purim told me that I can daven and change the course of what's about to happen. If the world is in a state of flux, my tefillah matters. Purim showed me that there's no more standing on the sidelines watching great people doing miracles. But I have the potential of being just as great and making the same impact in the world as Moshe Rabbeinu, as Aaron, as Miriam, as even HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shonen Neis Purim, Ines Yisias Mitzrayim, the last source. Neis Purim is different than the nes, than the miracle of Yesias Mitzrayim. Shebi Yesias Mitzrayim, Geulas Am Yisrael. That Yesias Mitzrayim, the Geula, the redemption of Am Yisrael, Lohaya Mu'ura Bahatzola. There is no mixture. There is no confusion as to who brought about the Hatzola of Yesias Mitzrayim. It wasn't done through Basar Adam. All of it was done al yidei Nisei Hashem Yisbarach. All of it was done from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Makos, Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Masha'en Kein B'Neis Purim. Shehaneis Hisnahel L'chora Al Pi Derech HaTeva. It happened through us, Basar Adam. That's so much greater than Kriyas Yamsuf, than Melchemes Amalek, than the first Kabbalah HaTorah, where it was all done for us. We even find it in the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan, what was the greatest miracle of all? Anybody think about that for a second? Let's take a step back. The building of the Mishkan was a great miracle. Do you know perhaps what was the greatest of the miracles? Who built the Mishkan? Bezalel, and he had other craftsmen helping him. Where do they learn how to build such beautiful artistic designs? Where do they learn that? There's no craftsmen. Nobody taught them how to do it. These were blue-collared laborers who were just slaves. Just 2 years earlier, they were building Pisom and Ramses. They worked with brick and mortar and clay. He felt their hands coarse and hard. They didn't know how to deal with such fine wool and linen and gold and silver and copper. Nobody was there to teach them how to make such artistic designs and such beautiful, magnificent artistic work. Ask the Ramban, how do they learn it? Who taught it to them? The answer is, says the Ramban, is that they taught themselves. Because there was a need for it. And they heard Moshe Rabbeinu talking about the Mishkan. And the Pasuk says that it was their heart that inspired them to come. They felt compelled to come. Did they ever think that they would ever be able to build such a beautiful, magnificent home for Hashem? 2 years earlier, they were building houses for Paro and his henchmen? Of course not. But they saw that there was a need. And they rose to the occasion and they acted. That's unmasking potential. That's taking something hidden deep within each and every one of us, not realizing what our potential is, but wanting to be involved. Not wanting to stand on the sideline. Wanting to make a difference. That's the Nes of Purim. The Nes of Purim is being able to look within us and realizing our potential. Every single person, bar none. It's an amazing thing. You know, people are reading about DNA. DNA is a hot topic now in the news. It's an amazing thing. No one has the same DNA. No one has the same fingerprints. Now, why is that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make us like that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us like that to show us that there is no one in the world that is like me. Every single person has a unique talent, a unique ability that only you can accomplish. That's an amazing thing. Every single person, and you might not even know it yet, you might not have unmasked that potential yet, but every single person, and by the way, this has tremendous halachic or practical nafgaminas. There's tremendous practical differences here. Because every single person is unique and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created each and every one of us special, with a special potential, that means every single, you can never make fun of someone or shun someone, not be nice to someone. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this unique person to do something special in the world. I don't mean be president of the United States. It doesn't have to be like that, and it shouldn't be like that. every single person, and this is the time, it's Musgal, perhaps that's the greatest simcha of Purim. Not the salvation of Klal Yisrael per se, but our own personal salvation, where we realize that we have potential. Is there any greater joy than to appreciate and to realize that I'm unique, that I'm special, that I'm no longer on the sidelines, that I have the ability to impact the world like no one else can? That is the greatest simcha, the greatest joy. And that's the kimu v'kiblu mashikiblu kfar. That's why we reaccepted the Torah. And it was done me'avos hanes, because of Adam rotze kav shelo. A person would rather have one of his own than nine of someone else's. Thank you.